Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Alan Levy Show at blogtalkradio.com. Be prepared to call in now and chat with Alan and his very special guest right here at blogtalkradio.com. With no more further ado, please welcome your host, Mr. Alan Levy.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Alan Levy Show and at blogtalkradio.com. It has been a long time, too long, in fact, since I've been on air. Really happy to be here today. We are live today. It's Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, October 15th, and we're very excited. We have a special guest, Spencer Raskoff, will be joining us. We'll get to Spencer in a moment. But first, let me introduce you to my co-host today. Hillary's out working on Blog Action Day, is Sean Daly. How are you, Sean?
Hi, Alan. Yeah, Blog Action Day is taking place from now until midnight Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/blogactionday. It's a great effort to help eradicate or bring more attention to poverty.
And great. Well, it's nice to see you again. Well, actually, I'm not seeing you. I'm in New Jersey, and you're in Vegas. Nice speaking with you. How many people are participating in this Blog Action Day that we're streaming on Blog Talk?
Well, I think they have sometimes 20,000 blogs are all participating in this, and of course Twitter's on it, and it's a blog community event that they're putting on to hopefully shine some light on this issue. So the chat room's been full. They're running about 60 to 80 people in the chat room since it started this morning at 9 my time. So it's a huge event. So hopefully this is the first of many of these events to come.
Excellent. So why don't we get right to it? Have you opened the chat room for this show?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Great. So welcome, everyone, to the Alan Levy Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm the founder and CEO of Blog Talk Radio. And today, my guest is Spencer Raskoff. He is a chief financial officer and vice president of marketing at Zillow.com. Prior to joining Zillow, Spencer was vice president of lodging for Expedia. In 1999, Spencer co-founded Hotwire.com, a leading internet travel company, and ran several product lines there. Hotwire was sold to IAC Interactive in 2003. Spencer, how are you today?
Excellent. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us. As I've mentioned to you before we went on air here, you are noted as CFO and Vice President of Marketing, and I think that's a very potent combination.
It's very rare. I've never actually met another person with those two positions, but it works. It works for us here at Zillow, but it's certainly uncommon.
So when you started, what were you first, a CFO or a marketing person?
I was marketing first. So I came to Zillow about 4 years ago. One of the first employees to join the company, and I was hired to run marketing. And as we started to raise venture capital financing, shortly thereafter, it became obvious that we needed somebody to kind of keep their hands on the financial reins of the company, and I said, hey, I know a thing or two about that. I can do that also. And it was meant to be temporary, and 4 years later, as is frequently the case at startups, people wearing multiple hats, I still have both jobs, and
very cool.
Keeps me busy. So.
It keeps you busy. I was the CFO of a company that went public in 1999, and I'm a CPA by training, but I would always getting into the eyes of the marketing folks who I felt were not really achieving, and I always had a thing for marketing. So I went for the other direction from the CFO side to marketing, but I enjoyed both. I just thought that was really funny. We are live today, so if people would like to call in to our show, you can dial 347-677-0649. You could also pose a question in the chat and so on. So, Spencer, let's talk a little about what's going on. I mean, Zillow, let's talk about Zillow first, what Zillow is, and then let's get into what's happening, which is just remarkable with the housing industry, the mortgage crisis, banking. There's so many interesting things going on, and Zillow's probably right in the middle of much of this.
Yeah, we really are right in the middle of it. So for those that don't know, Zillow is a real estate website, and we have all sorts of information about residential real estate. We have what we call a Zestimate, which is our valuation of almost every home in the country. We have Zillow Home Value Indexes, which are kind of aggregate information on given geographies, so we show which direction housing trends are moving. We have over 3 million listings of homes for sale. We have a lot of community features, discussion boards, where people are talking about real estate and mortgages. And then most recently, we have a product called the Zillow Mortgage Marketplace, where borrowers can come in and get an anonymous loan, quote, customized to them. So a borrower says what type of loan they're looking to achieve, and then lenders come in and for free, quote, the borrowers, and then the borrowers are able to reach out to the lenders and initiate contact that way. So it kind of turns traditional lead generation on its head by keeping the borrower in control, and that's a feature that we launched only a couple months ago, and it's off to a pretty phenomenal start so far.
Well, I suggest everyone check out the site, whether you're looking for a home or you're a homeowner. There's so much incredible information here, and knowing, you know, what it takes to build websites and create this amount of content, I mean, just remarkable the number of different plugins and different tools that you provide here on this website at Zillow.com.
Thank you. I mean, you know, we're probably best known for the Zestimate. So, you know, you type in your address, and you find out what your house is worth, or you find out what Zillow says your house is worth, and you know, we have data and Zestimates on almost every home in the country. In some, you know, probably one of the most interesting statistics that I like to look at to understand, to kind of grasp the ubiquity of Zillow as a home valuation resource, is in many cities in the country, about 90% of all the homes in that city have actually been looked up on Zillow. You know, as I sit here today in Seattle, 9 out of 10 homes in the Seattle area have actually been Zillowed, which is pretty amazing for a three-year-old company.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I'm looking here, I put in my address where I live, and I see that you have Microsoft Virtual Earth. You're not using Google Earth.
No, we use Google Street View. So we kind of have pieced together different data from different data providers and then built a lot of our own custom stuff on top of that. So we use Microsoft Virtual Earth for the 45-degree kind of photography from low-flying airplanes. We use other providers for the satellite and aerial photography. We use yet other providers for some of the local maps. And then we use Google Street View for the in the cities where they have it, for the kind of front-facing, sort of the photos taken of homes and of streets directly from, you know, from a passing car. And then, of course, the core of the data, the Zestimate, and the other information on the homes, we develop ourselves.
Well, I did put in my address, and I see the Zestimate, and fortunately, it's above where what I paid. Thank you.
Lucky for you. Many others are not. Many others
lucky
are not so
for me, and it may have everything to do with the lack of transactions taking place. But I'm not going to go any deeper into this right now. At least I know I could feel a little better today.
Yeah.
So, and Sean, I think Sean, you had something.
Well, yeah, the chat room was asking. No Neocon asked Zillow evaluated his house, and the price seemed a little bit inflated. And also, Newt's girl asked, "Where do you find your statistics for Zillow?"
So, you know, just generally about kind of accuracy of home valuations by Zestimate or by Zillow, we are most accurate on homes for which we have the most data about that individual home and the most data on other similar homes. We are least accurate on homes where we have the least data. So, you know, for example, on you know, a very unique home that you know, is on a lake, that's very high end, that is, you know, some well-known architect or you know, something kind of very novel and unique to that home, you know, the Zestimate's going to be a lot less accurate on that home than on a home that you know, that is more comparable to other homes, because of course all of this is being done by computer algorithm, and you know, computers have their limitations. Of course, they'll never be able to be completely accurate. So in general, the places where we're most accurate are the places where we have the best data. So Seattle, San Francisco, L.A., San Diego, Miami, Chicago are all cities where we actually have pretty good data on the homes from the counties, which is, to answer the second question, where we get the underlying data. The property attributes, so the number of bedrooms, bathrooms, square footage, roof type, kind of the year the home was constructed, the tax assessment, the transaction history. All of that ultimately comes from the county records. In some cases, it takes a couple of stops along the way from the county to Zillow's computers in the form of other data providers that we acquire the data from, but ultimately it comes from the county record. So that's where the underlying data comes from, and then, of course, the Zestimate, you know, we develop ourselves. For those who, like you take my house, for example, you know, Zillow and the county have my house as having 3 bedrooms when, in fact, it has 4. And so we have a feature called My Estimator where an owner can actually claim their home, which over 1 million people have done, and edit their home facts. And then they can use a little worksheet to amend the Zestimate, and they can publish their owner's estimate of what their home is worth. They can choose their own comps. They can add in their own custom attributes about the home. They can correct their own home facts, and ultimately what comes out of that process is an owner's estimate, which then they can choose to publish if they'd like, or keep private if they would choose.
Have anybody used this? I was just thinking about this. There's a lot of reappraisals, you know, for value tax valuation for assessments. Has anyone used that for this purpose?
I'm sure they have. I'm sure they have. I mean, I'm refinancing my home, you know, this week through a lender I found in the Zillow Mortgage Marketplace, predictably. And the appraiser was at my house yesterday, and I was explaining to him. I actually pulled up my estimate. I said, you know, this estimate for my home is blank, and you know, but I think that's a little bit low, and here's why. And I kind of walked him through my estimate, which is on my, you know, it's up on the web under my address, and I showed him why. I chose, you know, Zillow chose these comps, and Zillow had this number of bathrooms, this number of bedrooms, but actually I think these comps are even more relevant, and, you know, Zillow doesn't understand that I have a view of the lake, and so on and so forth. And so I walked him through my estimator. So, yeah, it definitely happens in terms of impacting appraisals and tax assessments.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very cool. There's so many cool features on here, and I recommend everyone check out Zillow.com. Maybe we could just chat a little about what's happening with, you know, the housing crisis. And, of course, you know, we've heard so much about subprime mortgages. And since you are wearing the CFO hat, you've got more than a basic knowledge of what's going on.
Yeah.
What is your sense of what's happened here? And what do you see? I mean, how do you see the housing market be affected by, you know, this TARP passing of this bill and any other moves that are taking place?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are two parts to the bailout, right? The first part, which was originally why what the bill kind of called for, was a $750 billion facility for the Treasury to go and purchase these bad loans off of the balance sheets of these lenders. That was approved, and none of that money has actually been deployed yet. And at the time, the government said that they thought that was the more, solid plan, and that they weren't interested in taking equity positions in banks. I think what changed over the last couple of weeks is they realized that this is more of a solvency issue than a liquidity issue. In other words, they're now more concerned whether or not these banks will survive as they are concerned with whether there can be enough liquidity in the system, enough money being pumped through and kind of making its way ultimately to the end consumer and to end businesses so that the economy can keep going. And if you believe that it's a solvency issue as much as a liquidity issue, then you actually need to help these banks with solvency. And what just happened yesterday or perhaps the day before, the days are kind of blurring together now because everything's moving so fast, was that the Treasury has told these 9 institutions that they will take investments from the federal government, and about $250 billion of the $750 is going to be used to take equity investments in those financial institutions. To answer your question, so what impact will this all have on the housing market? The short answer is, in the near term, very little to none.
Right.
Of those two pieces, the debt piece and the equity piece, the debt piece, I believe, will have a greater impact on the housing market. Because the hope is that when, you know, some big lending institution gets all these sort of bad arms off their balance sheet and kind of gives them to the government, that then they'll start lending again. The problem is, and the reason why I think that the impact on the housing market is going to be limited, is those banks have long memories. They're not just going to run out and do 3-1 ARMs to people with no documentation and no income and kind of all the craziness that got us into this mess. Instead, they're going to say, thank you very much, government. I'm really glad that I got these bad loans off my books, and now I'm going to continue to be conservative and only make very conservative loans. So, and you see the market basically telling you that. If you're on the web, you go to Zillow, for example, and you click on the mortgages tab, we have all sorts of rate tables of what's happening to mortgages. You know, right there, looks like the 30-year fixed, for example, in the last month has gone from about 5.7 to about 6.5, as the markets kind of realize that, you know, the days of easy lending are probably over, even if all these bailouts kind of work in the sense that, you know, banks become more stable. So near-term impact on the housing market, I think, you know, very small. Medium-term, I think it will certainly be good for the housing market because it's going to shore up the economy, at least for now. You know, we may have to – our children may have to pay for this down the road.
Yeah. No one's talking about that and what it's going to do to the dollar and what impact it's going to be. Be interesting if rather than invest in the capital of the banks, that they actually guaranteed some of these mortgages, new mortgages that are going to be issued, so people, you know, can – so the banks will lend. And I fully agree with you. And I've been – it's just mystified as to these moves that are taking place. I had a question, which is maybe not necessarily related to housing, but prior to Zillow, you were involved in Expedia and Hotwire. I mean, how do you compare these opportunities? You know, where Zillow now in this market, you've got, you know, traditional online, offline, you know, MLS service and so on. I mean, to you know, travel and lodging online. I mean, how do you compare these opportunities?
Yeah, there are a lot of similarities between travel and real estate, but there are a lot of very important differences. You know, one of the important similarities was when we were starting Hotwire in 1999, we were right at the beginning of this tidal wave of an online migration. You know, nobody was booking travel online in 1998, 97, and by 2002, you know, it was the norm, and certainly now, I mean, the idea that you would book travel any other way for most people is a bit quaint. And in terms of real estate information, we're just now, or when Zillow started kind of 2 or 3 years ago, we were just again at the beginning of that tidal wave. I mean, 5 years ago, probably the last time you bought your house, you probably didn't use the web, but certainly the next time you buy your house, you will. And now as a homeowner, there are all these tools available to you at Zillow and other places where you can get all sorts of information. So, you know, in terms of the macro climate of online migration, you know, very similar. I'd say another similarity is the industry's embrace of the online channel as a way to distribute its product. You know, again, the travel industry was used to selling through travel agents and used to advertising their product through print and TV. And then the online travel agencies came along, and all of a sudden that was a much better way, cheaper, more efficient way to distribute their product. Likewise, when we sit down with large real estate brokerages, you know, they say, looking out 6 to 18 months, you know, it's going to be web. I mean, their advertising through other channels and their time and attention through other channels is just, you know, severely diminished in favor of the web. Now, some of the key differences are the size of the transaction and the complexity of the transaction. You know, buying a home is not like buying an airline ticket. It never has been, it never will be, it never should be. And as a result, real estate will always be a professionally assisted transaction, whereas travel already is not a professionally assisted transaction for the most part. And so, you know, when Zillow first started 3 years ago, because we had so many alums from Expedia and Hotwire and other travel companies, some in the industry predicted that we were going to try to disintermediate real estate agents and, you know, do to real estate agents what we did to travel agents and so on and so forth. And there was all this kind of doomsday predictions of what impact Zillow might have on the individual realtor. And we've said all along very adamantly that we have no intention of disintermediating the agent because the agent has a critical role in the case of a real estate transaction. We want to empower the consumer with a lot of information and empower the agent with a lot of information, but the economics of that relationship between the homeowner or buyer and seller and the agent, as well as the fact that that relationship exists, that is of no concern to us. That's, you know, that's between the agent and the individual.
So you get paid, so you get referral fees and so on?
No,
or
so So we're a media model. So we make money through advertising. We are not in the transaction whatsoever. We're not in the lead referral model. So
that's a huge difference between
Expedia, Hotwire, and Zillow. Huge difference. We are a media property, not an e-commerce property. And so we make money. You know, our whole goal is to get as much traffic as possible. And you know, last month we got almost 5.5 million people coming to the website. Up 42% versus the same time last year. So we get a lot of people to the website for as little money as possible, and then we provide them all sorts of information, and we have ads on the website. So that's the model. We don't make money whether there's a real estate transaction or not. And so our advertisers are typically real estate brokers or agents who are advertising themselves or their listings, as well as large national advertisers that are trying to capitalize on this decision point of buying or selling a home, which drives a lot of purchase activity, whether it be a new car or a new TV or a washer dryer or a lawnmower or new cable service or a new cell phone or you name it. A lot of those transactions occur around the home transaction, and so we sell a lot of advertising to a lot of those types of companies.
Spencer, I had a couple questions for you. Actually, two of them from the chat room and in my own. They're asking, how often is Zillow updated? And also they're asking, and are all the homes updated at once, or does it depend on the home? And I live in Las Vegas, so you can probably speak to both, the travel and the real estate market, because the real estate market here collapsed, and also the tourism industry has kind of collapsed here in Vegas as well. And we're kind of facing a perfect storm here with everything, and the governor's just flailing away. He doesn't even know which end is up, but I don't know if you want to comment on the Las Vegas market. It's getting hit pretty hard.
Sure. So first on frequency of updates. So Zestimates are updated about 3 times a week. And so that's every home in the country that for which we have a Zestimate, which is, I believe we have about 70 million or so Zestimates now. They get pushed to the website 3 times a week. We have the ability on every home page, every home details page, you can sign up to receive a home report where we'll actually email you monthly what's happening to your individual home. You can also sign up for a saved search. So if you're a buyer looking for a particular type of home, you can get emails from us daily, weekly, or monthly when new listings match your criteria. So 3 times a week, but you don't have to check back 3 times a week, although we'd certainly love you to. You can instead get email from us. Las Vegas, if you're on the web or perhaps later, you'll see on the bottom of every page in the footer, there's a link that says Real Estate Market Reports. And then if you click around, you'll see the data that we put out quarterly for really every major city in the country. And if you click on Las Vegas, for example, you'll see more data than you could ever possibly want about Las Vegas. We have heat maps of what's going on in Las Vegas, negative equity maps. We've got what percent of homes were sold for a loss and at in foreclosure, et cetera. And so, for example, I can tell you that the Zillow Home Value Index in Las Vegas is $202,000, which, buckle your seatbelts here, is down 28% year over year, which is, as you certainly know, one of the steepest declines in the whole country. And it's certainly very grim in Las Vegas. It was overbuilt, and the suburban sprawl is really hurting it. One interesting thing, we kind of sit from this perch where we can see what's happening in the whole, the real estate market nationwide. And one of the interesting things that we've noticed is this phenomenon we kind of internally call concentric circles, where the closer you are to a city center, the better off you are in terms of how your home value is holding up. The homes that are really getting crushed are the million-dollar home that's an hour away, the house that's out in, Woodland Hills in L.A. or, a suburb, an hour in New Jersey, outside of New York, where those houses, there's no price support for a house that high-end that far out, because as home prices decline, people say to themselves, if I'm going to spend that much money for a house, I don't want to be driving an hour when gas is at $4 a gallon. I want to live closer to the city. And so the cities with the biggest suburban sprawl, such as Las Vegas and Phoenix and Tampa suffers from this, and Stockton, California, et cetera, they've really been hard hit.
Yeah, it's sad because you see the casinos laying off left and right, and then the people say, well, I lost my job, and I'm losing the house, and of course, Nevada's got the highest foreclosure rate in the country, and also, the state lays claim to usually the top one or two highest suicide rates in the country. Basically, from losing money in the casinos, now people are panicking and taking things in their own hands losing their homes. So it's sad.
It's very sad. I'll give you just pulling up here some Las Vegas stats. So in the first quarter of 2000, or sorry, second quarter of 2008, about 70% of the homes that sold in the Las Vegas area sold for a loss. So that means mm-hmm. that the seller actually sold it for less than they paid for it. And yep. nationwide, I believe that number is about 35% or so for the same time period. And of all the homes that sold in Las Vegas in that time period, about 50% of them were sold as part of a foreclosure transaction. If you look back 2 years, that number was about 5% in Las Vegas.
Wow.
So huge numbers of foreclosures, huge numbers sold at a loss. It's a very, very grim market. I mean, what has happened nationwide basically is, the higher the markets, the higher they went up, the more they've fallen down. If you look at like Oklahoma City or Pittsburgh or kind of markets that have grown at more pedestrian rates of growth, kind of 3 to 5% a year, those markets are kind of flat. They're kind of still sort of flat to up maybe 1 or 2%. But it's the markets that grew extremely quickly over the last couple of years. So in Las Vegas, for example, in 2004, the median home value of all homes in Las Vegas was about $175,000 to $200,000. We're basically back there now, but it went as high as about almost $350,000 in the middle. So it was an upside down U basically over the last 4 years.
I had a question looking at the site. Have you thought about, have you thinking about incorporating interactive tools like audio or video into the platform to provide more description or information with regard to a sale, a house here?
Yeah, I mean, there are some ways that people do that now. It's not, it could be improved. So, for example, on a profile page, of which there are, over a million people have created profile pages, typically real estate agents, you can embed your own video that talks about your expertise. You can embed your own YouTube video or from some other server. If you're a seller listing a home for sale, you can embed your own virtual tour. You can embed your own video, et cetera. But we could certainly, as video becomes more ubiquitous, I'm starting to see more and more people with flip phone or flip cameras, and video is becoming a bigger deal in the real estate space. We need to do a better job of making sure that it's better incorporated.
Well, one of the things you may want to consider, and maybe we can chat about it offline, is at blogtalkradio.com, if you go to the bottom, you'll see something called Cinch, C-I-N-C-H. Mm-hmm. You can actually mm-hmm. find the URL at cinch.blogtalkradio.com. Cinch is, it allows anyone to create a podcast using any type of a phone. So you simply dial a phone number, and you say, hi, I'm here outside of 22 Junction Boulevard, and I'm looking at this house, or it's my house, and, it's looking great, and so on. You hang up, and there's an RSS feed, a podcast with an RSS feed, which can reside right next to that property. There's no easier way. It's
interesting.
Blog Talk Radio, this is live and interactive. This platform, Cinch, is simply someone can call in and have an RSS feed built off their cell phone number.
Cool.
Which can be incorporated into a username. So we're working with some different types of distributed networks like real estate or insurance companies and agents where they're looking to get more commentary to provide, remotely, which,
right.
looking at your site, having some more interaction could be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've always loved when you're driving around a neighborhood and you see a home for sale and there's a, you see them in Southern California a lot where they have little like radio button or whatever. You can turn your radio to a particular station and you can hear something about that home or a custom phone number that you dial in and you hear them talking about the home. Especially if it's not an open house, you can't get into the house and you want to learn more about the information, get more information about the home. We have a mobile version of Zillow. If you go to Zillow from your iPhone or BlackBerry browser, we have a mobile version of Zillow, which is kind of a stripped-down version of the website. So you can have it there with you when you're, walking your dog around the neighborhood, and you can kind of Zillow your neighbor's homes as you walk around the neighborhood or go to open houses. But that will get better with time as well.
Yeah, we should definitely talk because, our audio component could complement that very nicely. I mean, the web development effort that your team has put together is really great. It's very impressive. So
thank you. We've done, they've done a lot in a very short period of time. It's a very impressive product pipeline that we built.
So what's the next you know, where is Zillow heading? I mean, are you looking to move into other markets? Are you, I mean, what's the objective? You're a private company, correct?
Yeah, yeah. So we're a private company. We've raised almost $90 million in venture capital. We, you know, someday may go public. You know, our we have very patient investors, but we're, you know, the traffic is going great, and the revenue monetization is coming along nicely. Our key areas of focus right now are improving the quality of the data that we have, you know, the accuracy of those estimates, the information we have on all these homes, the quality of the listings. We have a lot of work to do still on Zillow Mortgage Marketplace to really blow that product out. We've got a few other things up our sleeve as well. So
cool.
We're busy.
Sean, I think there's a call.
Yes, area code 973, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, this is John, and I'm sorry I tuned in late. So very in-depth question, I guess. But how did you come up with the name Zillow? I love the name Zillow, so just wondering how you came up with that name.
Sure. Thanks, John, and a great question. Zillow is a contraction of zillions of pillows, which is meant to evoke the fact that we have an enormous amount of data about real estate, as well as the fact that a pillow is where you rest your head at night, and it's meant to feel kind of squishy and homey. So that's where Zillow comes from.
Well, love the squishy and homey and great name. So anyway, really enjoying the show, and just, again, wanted to call in because I thought it was a great name. So thanks very much for the show.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, John.
Yep.
Thank you. Well, right now, how many people, you're just located out in Seattle, is that correct?
We are. We're located in Seattle, and we've got a large ad sales effort out of New York, Chicago, and San Francisco as well. But the bulk of the team is here in Seattle.
My guest today has been Spencer Rathkoff, CFO and Vice President of Marketing at Zillow. And I encourage everyone to check out Zillow.com if you're buying a home, if you own a home, if you're looking for a mortgage. I was thinking that you may want to, on the nav bar, have a little section called foreclosures. I know you've got mortgages, but do you have a little foreclosure area? Maybe you could take a percentage of that. That I can think of so many revenue streams for you right now.
Well, all ideas are welcome.
Well, maybe we'll definitely talk again. And thank you for joining us. I appreciate you participating in this. And we'll send you the MP3 and the archive of this, and we'll
thank
shoot
you.
It your way.
Thanks so much. Have a great day. And thank you, listeners, and for those with questions. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Spencer. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Spencer.
Sean.
Thank you for
joining us here. It was enjoyable. Hillary's usually my co-host, but it's always a pleasure to have Sean Daly on the show.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be wanted.
the famous one. Well,
you're
the guy. I mean, I know things are hurting in Vegas, but you're here with Blog Talk Radio, where our reach extends far past.
Yes, absolutely. I just thought it was nice to give that, because it's, you know, the biggest foreclosure market in the country. I thought it was nice to give his perspective on that. But it's very chilling here, Alan. You hear the casinos are really floundering, and then the real estate market's dead. And open the paper and you hear, see all kinds of sad stories. It's amazing.
Well, they built so much capacity, right? I mean, there's just an enormous amount of capacity built in that area. And the prices are expensive, and I realized that a year ago I was there over the summer, and you know, people who really didn't have much money, they're gambling, you know, they're almost it seemed to be their last dollars. It's sad. But it's cyclical, right? I mean, how many times has Vegas boomed and busted? So and it's it'll boom again.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. Let's hope the country. I think. I mean, once we get this election behind us, I think things will. People will calm down. There's so much drip and drag over this election. I think that's part of the problem. People, there's so much uncertainty. You don't know who's going to win.
Yeah, no question. Well, let's leave that for another day. Anyway, Sean,
absolutely.
Thank you for joining us. Let me hit the closing bumper. It's been a great day. Thanks, everyone, for joining the Alan Levy Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for joining Alan and Hillary on the Alan Levy Show. Make sure to join the conversation by calling 347-677-0649 and listen to the Alan Levy Show on Blog Talk Radio.